understood all the time, and we don't apply it correctly all the time. If you'll notice here, this woman had been sick for 12 years. Not just sick, but in one of the worst possible ways that you could be sick, because she had the issue of blood, and she was considered unclean. She was not to be touched. She was not to touch anybody. She was, no better way to put it than an outcast. She had seen many physicians. She had tried, spent everything she had. Pretty much she was out of options. Now, I don't know about you, but 12 days of hardship, 12 days of the sickness that we just went through, man, I don't know that I would have been up for getting up and doing anything. I just wanted to lay on the flat of my back. And where I think we mix things up sometimes is we'll pray and we'll give things to God, but the way that we do that is we sit on our tails and we use faith as a filler for laziness. You know, again, there's a fine line, I think, in between knowing that God can take care of everything, but then also expecting God to take care of everything. Again, we have obligations. We can do a lot on our own, so to speak. Again, faith can't be a filler for laziness. This young lady got up and put faith into motion. She went seeking Jesus because she knew if she could get in his presence, touch his garment, that she could be healed. Again, the first subtitle, if you will, here is faith in motion. Now, and I hope I'm not going to embarrass her, but my mother-in-law, about a year ago, got some concerning news with her liver. And between Megan and them, they looked at the blood work, and she went and had some tests run and stuff, and she had some recommendations for the doctor. And I've heard people, you know, request prayer for folks, and the easy thing to do, I don't want to say the easy thing to do, please don't discount what I'm saying here or mix it up. Well, God, just take care of it. I know, and not change anything about the way you live, and not change anything about the way you go about your daily life. Well, God, you take care of it. Yeah. But no, I want to tell you a little bit about what they've done. Tony and Nancy both committed to a strict diet. Now, I'm gonna sidetrack a minute and tell you that it hurt my feelings because Nancy can throw down in the kitchen. And I used to eat supper up there quite a bit. And don't get me wrong, my wife does a wonderful job also. She learned from one of the best that I know. But when Nancy and Tony's diet changed, so did the invitations for me to come eat with them. But anyway, what I want you to get out of that is Nancy and Tony are both now sitting here healthier. They've both lost weight. And Nancy just had a wonderful report on some tests that she had run this week. And don't get me wrong, it wasn't without God, but it was through God blessing their efforts in trying to help themselves. You know, see, that's the difference. That's the difference in, well, I've got faith, I'm praying about it, and putting faith into motion. So remember that, faith in motion. The next place we're going to look, we're going to jump over to John chapter 11. Again, another very, very familiar miracle. The preacher touched on it this morning. Verse 18 is where I'm going to start. Verse 18 says, "Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother." Remember that. "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection in the last day. Jesus said unto her, I love this, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said, and when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. I'm going to jump down to verse 38. Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Lazarus is another look at, it's when we think about applying faith, when we think about having obligations for God to show up and lining up, the life that Lazarus lived before now, Jesus describes him, if you look further up in the chapter, I think it is verse 5. Look up there with me. Verse 5 says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Verse 11 says, when Jesus has found out about the news, he said, these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Jesus refers to him as friend. Now, I've got friends. I've got worldly friends. I've got Christian friends. But I've got a friend in Jesus. That is the life-changing, that is the hope, that is everything that I can't be. If you look back over when it talks about Mary and Martha getting the news, I believe it is verse 19. It says, and the one I said remember, it says, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Lazarus has died. Their brother has died. Many of the other Jews could only come and offer comfort. But when Jesus comes on the scene, he can completely turn it around as if it had never happened before. But it is not without having a relationship with Christ that these things can take place. You know, this is said many, many times, but my goodness, how often do we use Jesus like that spare tire? We live life, we pay attention, and I talk to the youth about this all the time. We want to impress people. I know everybody loves to have friends. Everybody loves to feel a part of something. But if you spend most of your time impressing the world, I promise you, you're not pleasing the Lord. A true relationship is not without communication. A true relationship is not without sacrifice. So keep that in mind. The relationship that Lazarus had before his death played a big role in Jesus showing up in the greatest time of need. The last one we're going to look at is over in Daniel chapter 6. Verse 16 is where I'm going to start. Now, again, the preacher was close to this morning. Daniel obviously was in bondage. Daniel has proven himself time and time again. The king even believes, he understands that there's something different about Daniel. Daniel's been set up. A decree was signed that no one else could serve, I think it was for 30 days, any other god. But it says that Daniel did as he always had. He served his Lord with open windows. He didn't go and hide. You know, I've often thought about in hard times, you know, if they make this illegal, if the world gets bad enough and it's illegal to come to church, well, people are going to hide and probably, you know, do things behind closed doors. I'm not Daniel. Daniel served God, it says, as he always has. Anyway, verse 16 says, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. This last one is serving God continually. Continually. Not serving God on Sunday. Not sometimes on Wednesday. Serving God continually. You know, how much better off would it be if things were reversed? Right? If we paid as much attention to God and our relationship, salvation, and God's word as we do the rest of the world on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. My goodness. You know, Daniel, over and over and over, Daniel's got a very impressive resume. But it struck me here, it says that Daniel was found innocent. Innocent. Can you say that about you today? One, do you serve God continually? And if you look inside, can you say that you would be found innocent? Now, obviously, as Christians, we know that we can repent of our sins. We can get that under the blood. God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But will you do that? You know, we all want God to show up. We all want miraculous things to happen. But again, like I said before, we have obligations. And in order for God to work in our life, we've got to line up with this. Amen. If we're going to pray, and we want our prayers to be answered, you know, it's kind of, I don't want to say funny, but I've seen things happen time and time again. Somebody will start going through a hard time, or something big will come up, and man, their prayer life increases, their Bible reading increases, their church attendance increases, and then the Lord makes a way, and all of a sudden, you know, I got what I needed. Back in the trunk you go, spare tire, for when I need you again. Can I urge you today, tonight, to serve God continually? you know, obviously I love you, church. I want the best for you. I want everybody to have an awesome God experience sometime in their life. But again, it's not magic. You have responsibilities in that taking place too. So tonight as they come and get us a song, I want to ask you, can you be found innocent? Are you willing and able to put faith into motion? And most importantly, do you have a relationship with Christ? A true relationship. Because again, I think I've said this before. The preacher has said it before. You know, I can pray for you, but if you're not saved, it's my responsibility to pray for your salvation first.